kind of to the place where you even should matter, you know?
Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerdog. With me, Yorgo Archytas.
Hello, how's it going?
So, you've been doing comedy around town.
I've been doing comedy around town, yes, absolutely.
And do you find it an enjoyable experience, or is it just miserable going to these mics, hammering out shit? You know, there's drunk people.
Well, considering, like, I wanted to do this for, like, a very long time, it's, like, some of the most fun that I've ever gotten to do. It's been, I was a columnist for a long time back in the day.
A communist?
I'm not good
columnist.
At... Columnist? Yeah. Columnist, yeah. I'm not good at enunciating. Back in the day, I could, like, get away with it, as long as I spell your name right, it's okay.
Well, if you're in a newspaper office and you're a columnist, people know what that means.
Yeah.
But if you're on a podcast, you have to be a columnist.
Yeah, I need to enunciate my words. But that was, there was, like, always, like, reins that you had been pulled back by editors and stuff, and this is kind of completely unfettered, and it's nice, and I've always, like, valued laughs more than people going, you know?
Yeah. So, this is something I find interesting about you. How, you're a late bloomer sexually.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when I was 20.
Do you think that you put girls on a pedestal, and house is comedy on a similar pedestal where you waited, you weren't sure, you had anxiety? You're like, I wonder what it's like in there.
That's the exact same thing.
Yeah?
It's like almost like I've said that exact thing to people before. Where if people say, hey, I really want to do it, I should do it, but I'm just too scared to do it. I'm like, it's exactly like losing your virginity. Because after you do it once, it's like, oh, it's who gives a shit, just go up.
Yeah.
It's like the same thing. It won't be great. You probably won't be the best at it. But,
just
yeah,
get up there, move around.
After the first time, you've, like, broken the chains, and it's a lot easier to do it. And in both cases, I have not really improved that much. But we're still plugging away. It's still fun either way. I think the analogy's working, right?
So you were 20 when you first had sex, and how old was the broad?
I don't know. I think she might have been 19. 19 or... Nah, she was a year younger. It was in college. I went to a fraternity, and it was a big deal. I was like, okay, I'm going to finally fucking lose my virginity. It's fucking hip-hop night. It's Yo Beta Rap, so I was a beta.
Mm-hmm.
It always sucks, because whenever you hear about frats, I understand. When you hear about frats, people are like, get the fuck out of here. I don't want to hear about that dumb hovel bullshit. But no, there was a party. I was really excited about it. I fucking had whiskey and milk, drank Canadian Mist whiskey and milk by myself, and then I dressed up as T-Pain in, like, a furry jacket that was red and white, like Waldo, but it was furry. And I had a pilgrim's top hat on, but I flipped it, like, backwards, so, like, the buckle was facing back. And
you're a dangerous man.
Well, I thought it was festive, and I went up, and I was like, I'm hammered, and I'm fucking gonna do this. I'm gonna see what's gonna happen. And it's, like, really weird. I think sorority people know that, like, people are virgins, and they, like, want it as a pelt, just like a guy would want it as a pelt. And it's like, because everybody's just wanted, like, physical validation through consensual sex, you know? Everybody wants to feel attractive. And so I was dancing with this one girl. She was taller than me. She was African-American. And she had, like, fake grills on, like they were silver. And we're dancing a lot.
Like tinfoil, just kind of pushing in for fun?
No. They were, like, real. She went to the... it's like, you know, it's a costume party. People are excited.
All right.
And we started making out on the dance floor, which was fun. And then we went to the sorority house, and she snuck me into, like, some closet where, since I had a jacket on the whole night, the shirt underneath was, like, wringable, like, wet. It was ridiculous. And I was like, yo, I live a block away. Why the fuck are we not there? And so we went over there. We rolled around in the hay. Didn't really have sex all that great. And then the condom rolled off me. I never came. And for 6 months, I was worried. I had AIDS. That was my fraternity.
Because the condom rolled off?
I had never had sex before, and I was just really scared of AIDS.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just like, oh, my God.
Now also, okay, it could be considered racist, right?
No, not at all.
African-American, all of a sudden.
How
dare you?
A dot that you had to... together.
You fell down. Why were you so scared?
You don't have sex, and you're, like, just terrified.
Okay, but you also, it took you forever to masturbate, too.
Mm-hmm.
You've told me that in private time, and now I'm putting it public. So when was the first time you ejaculated from masturbation?
Well, no, I did a bit about it where, like, if somebody taught me how to jerk off the wrong way, I just saw the motion of, like, you know, somebody jacking it, and instead of rubbing my penis, I've juggled my balls, and I was like, okay, this just might not work for me. And I was already weirded out because I was like, oh, I'm so weird around girls. Maybe my libido is something off. Maybe I'm an asexual person.
Did you tell me that you were Mormon or something like that?
No,
or?
My mother was Mormon. But okay. That never came in. That
none, you weren't raised religious?
Yeah, there's no religion involved.
But did she have, like, the naivety or the fear, or, like, did they implant that same, like, Mormon guilt about premarital sex type of thing?
No.
Because I was raised Catholic, and I was fucking fucked up about my body from that, you know?
No, my mom is old school. Out the house, 18. I'm done with the church. I have to move out. I know that, but okay. I'm going to leave. So that was never an issue there. It was just, you know, kids grow up, fat kids grow up, and they feel awkward with themselves, and they learn bad.
You were a fat kid growing up?
Yeah.
So you had body image issues?
Yeah. I was a fat kid. There's a lot of fat kids out there.
You look in good shape now.
I'm wearing horizontal lines.
You look good.
It's a
When did you take fitness serious?
Like 4 years ago, 3 years ago, I lost a lot of weight. I was like, I'm going to do this because older you get, the harder it is. So I was like, I'm 24. Let's fucking do this.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So how heavy did where was the drop?
I don't know. I was like maybe 235, 240, and then I got down to like 180 or something like that.
Yeah.
Somewhere like yeah. I was
and good. Now you're just cruising.
I'm cruising, but I'm about to go to Greece next week, so I'm going on a dangerous crash diet where I'm cardioing a little bit too hard and fucking eating no carbs and trying to have the only cheat things.
You want to wear a Speedo and get fucking grease girls?
No, I just want to have like an action figure body, but like the teenage version of a superhero, like the teenage Tobey Maguire action figure from the first Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what I want.
You just
want
to be like skinny and toned.
Yes. Yeah, I don't want to be like, you know, but I want to be like, oh.
You don't want to be ripped. You just want to be like cut.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, shredded would be a little bit too strong of a...
These are all these adjectives for... all right, well, that's interesting. So, what was the first mic you did when you were in New Orleans?
This one. I went to...
Carrollton Station. We're outside Carrollton Station, by the way, in Willow Street.
Oh, right yeah. Now. Look at that. That's good for context. I was about to say, this is weird. I don't like getting interviewed ever, because I did interviews forever, and now it's, like, intellectual vertical. It's weird to, like, have to answer questions now.
I'm just trying. Well,
I'm circling, like, vicariously through you right now, thinking about you thinking of questions.
Yeah. Well, I also know that, you know, this is an audio thing, so if you say, oh, this is the first place, people don't know what this is.
No, that was me being a dipshit, and we're outside of Carrollton Station, and I did this one the first time, and I ate shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... I got a little bit yelled at during the meeting, but I think I deserved it. Now, they didn't name my name, but I signed up. Another comic texted me. It's always a weird thing. You go to a mic, you get texted from another comic. Hey, put me on the list. So I'm like, okay. So the host of the show is just looking over, seeing who's here. And then I go up and I write another person's name right in front of him. And then he points at the top like, yo... This paper says don't sign up at other people.
Oh, that you had that interaction?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know.
And
about
then
that
I was like, "Woof! I'm sorry. Should I erase it? He'll be here in 5 minutes." And then they do a speech. Don't sign up other people, even if they're late. It's not helping anybody. It's a slippery slope because people, you know, they ask you. You want to be good friends with people. But also, you know...
Well, it's different because, like, there's, like, places where you could potentially do that. And there's places where you probably shouldn't. And this is, like... I would say the places that have meetings is places that you probably shouldn't do that.
Right.
You know? Because they're having meetings and they don't want to, like, look like an ass when they're, like... Which makes sense. You don't want to fucking be like, oh, yeah, this guy slipped through the fucking cracks. Where the fuck is, you know, Omar Johnson? I don't know who the fuck, I don't know. Well, that's not a very good generic name, Omar Johnson. I should have said Dick Schaap. That's a fucking real person. Oh, I'm down a hole now. But yeah.
Speaking of being down holes, what was it like after you had sex with that black lady?
It was...
And you didn't call her back? It was just 6 months of thinking you had AIDS?
No, that's why I think it was more of like a... a very sad but still pelt, you know? Like when you've been out fishing all day and you like pull something in and you're like, "Ah, we'd probably throw this back, but we haven't caught anything."
Right. So it's we have a snack now.
Yeah. And yeah, it was fine. I didn't really talk to her all that often. Didn't have a girlfriend for a long time. Just kind of waded through and hung out. Yeah, I don't know.
And what city did you move from to be here?
Coos Bay, Oregon.
Okay.
Coos Bay, not Coos Bay.
How far is that from Portland?
It's 3.5 hours. It's okay. In the rural Oregon coast. Like it was like a real, real, real small town. It was 16,000 people, and then the next city, which pretty much sister city, is 10,000 people.
Did you have any like culture shock going to New Orleans with all the parades and all this stuff? Like New Orleans is a very funky kind of town, right?
Yeah, but like I've been like I grew up in California, in the Silicon Valley, and then I moved to Utah, and then I moved to Oregon, and then I moved back, and then when I was in Utah during college, I went to internships during 2 summers. So I've been kind of like all over the place. So I like culture shock. I'm excited for that. And, like, 7 days when I go to Greece, that's gonna be like for reals, like holy shit.
Yeah
like there's gonna be like oh my god, like that's acceptable behavior, and it's just gonna be cool
just to be topless on the beach. Or what do you
I mean, that's wishful thinking. I don't know if that's necessarily, because I remember that's like, I hadn't been since I was 13, and I was so excited when I was 13, one, to drink beer, and two was to fucking go see girls topless at a naked beach.
Yeah.
And I went, and there was only two. One person who was seared in my mind, and then another one who was like an older lady that was like, ah.
So one hot lady you saw
in
that trip to...
And then there was another one was like, oh.
You know, like, with the titties in New Orleans and Mardi Gras, I think if I grew up here, I would be like, fuck yeah. If you're 14 and you go to Bourbon Street, you sneak in, and some girl's taking her fucking top off, I mean, you jerk off to that for 9 years.
But then it's like you don't get that all the time for that.
Right, right.
And I like, it would be fool's errand to go down there and be like, oh, we're going to see titties. It's just nice when you're on Bourbon and you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, but I feel
Because you
like,
can tell because it goes, ah, and everybody starts screaming. Yeah. You're like, ah.
Well, my dad came to visit because I had some legal issues and, don't worry about it. But he came down.
It's when you murdered a dog, right?
How dare you?
No, it was an iguana. It was my
iguana.
I had
a staple gun, and a meter maid confused my staple gun with a 9mm handgun and reported me. So I got charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. But anyway.
Oh, that's for reals. I bet you talked about that before.
Yeah. So anyway, it got dismissed because it was a staple gun, blah, blah, blah. But my dad was in town, and he saw like 8 girls take their breasts out in like 4 minutes. And he's like, he seemed like proud of me. He was like, thanks, son. Thanks for moving here, man. You fucking nailed it, bro. Oh. Like, he had, like, a heart-to-heart with me about how, like, awesome it was that I lived here in a place where, like, girls took their titties out all the time.
Yeah, it's, well, good. I bet my dad would probably be something similar, but he wouldn't be as wholesome. He'd be like...
We had, like, a bonding experience over it.
With my father, it would probably be uncomfortable. I don't know, it's a culture shock. He's from, like, he grew up in Greece, so it's, like, totally different, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Is there a Greek language? Does he speak Greek?
Is there a Greek language?
I'm so dumb.
No, there is, yeah. I speak... he speaks fluent Greek. He took me to Greek school.
How
like,
is it?
I'm okay. I'm comfortable. Like, I could probably get through. But after a week of being in Greece, I'm going to be like...
How do you say, ma'am, I'd like to see your breasts?
I can't say it. Because I'm going to butcher it. But, Tokarichi echo orea hevia.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't think that... No, that's like the woman has nice tits.
Okay.
Yeah, that's close enough, right?
Yeah. I don't speak Greek. You could have been like... I would have been like, that sounds great. I have no idea.
No, but I enunciated, so you believe. Like, I had syllables in those words.
Did you?
So I was like, yeah.
Are you a columnist?
As long as I spell it right. That's all that ever mattered.
Cool, man. Well, I see you develop. When I felt like a few times I saw you like with that newbie kind of deer in the headlights, where material that worked good in other places all of a sudden doesn't work, and you're like, oh, there's like different aspects to this game, you know?
Yeah, no.
I've seen you go through those moments a few times.
It's like I've only been doing it for 6 months to even like think about development at all is weird, because it's like it takes so long.
Yeah. Do you remember the best show you've had, or the one that you were most proud of? Or
the one I'm most proud of is when I went to Utah, and I went to like a like proper comedy club, and I was like, yo, everybody, come, let's go do it. I brought like 5 or 6 of my friends, had somebody who was working at the comedy club watch too, and there was like 100 people for an open mic, and people like paid $5 to get there, and it was one of those open mics, I don't know if you've ever done this one, but like there was fucking 24 spots. And after 24, get the fuck out of here. We don't care if you came 30 minutes away. And we had to like wait 40 minutes in the cold to get a fucking on the list. Got on the list. I got 3 minutes, all my friends, and I fucking murdered. Just murdered. 2 applause breaks in 3 minutes. Just, psh, and that was...
Dude, I think it's so important to do comedy and move to different cities. Like, I started in New York doing improv. I did stand-up like 6 times or maybe 24 times. Then I moved to, because I got my undergrad there. Then I lived in L.A. for 5 years. And then I moved here, and I was like all full of piss and vinegar when I first moved here. But I'm excited to move back to Los Angeles. I'm going to move back to L.A. August 1st. I think I'm announcing that the first time on this podcast, maybe. But I'm really excited because now I have all this material I've worked on for 3 years. So, and I have my old network. I think it's important. Like, every time you start over in a city... It's like you in Utah. You're like, I've never been to Utah, so this is kind of a fresh experience, clean slate. Let me just go in fucking killer mode. It's a different thing when you, I don't know, when you travel or when you're at a mic that you're, like, scared, so you, like, prep harder.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's places around here that are like that, and where I'll, like, choke because I get a little nervous and stuff, you know? But no, like, going over, it feels nice that I went to, like, Sacramento, I went to San Francisco, I went to Utah, and I had very good sets in all those places. That's, like, that's validating in itself.
Yeah. You
know? Like, that's good. And I'm about to go to Miami next week before I go to Greece, and I'm going to try shit out over there. And
so why are you going to Greece for a month? Your room springer? What's happening?
I have the opportunity, there's a gap in my life where I can go out that way. And I have a place, somebody subletted my place. I have family out there. I haven't been there forever. And when I get a real big boy job, I'm not going to be able to spend a month out there. And that's like how you properly need to do it, is spend a long time because I have family out there. So
that's fucking great, dude.
Yeah. No, it'll be a blast. I'm going to go to Amsterdam first, then go down to Greece, go see Florence for a second. Wow. I really want to see Paris, but I don't know if I can do a Paris. But yeah, it'll be a blast. I don't know. It sucks that there's not, like, the beaches aren't going to be all that into it, but I don't know.
The beaches aren't going to be in season?
Yeah, it's not going to be in season. Like, most of the resorts won't be in season.
Okay. Is the economy in Greece doing okay? I keep hearing it's, like, bankrupting or whatever.
Well, like, the thing that I'm really, like, scared about, and this is, there was a huge terrorist attack in London today, right?
Right.
But that was because it was in London and it was huge. There's a lot of other ones that happen on, like, the news in, like, the world in 60 minutes, or in 60 seconds, and you miss, like, oh, 2 people died in Athens today, or 2 people died blank,
right.
And I'm scared of how, like, how it might be a bigger issue in European countries, and we don't find out about it in the United States, like, the kind of terrorism that happens there, and that I might be subject to it.
Well, terrorism is one word, but another word is crime. Right, so what if, you know, there's more looting or something, or robberies, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, that's like, we live in New Orleans, like, that's kind of a general thing. Like, terror would mean anxiety in general, because it's terror, you know? And I would not want to deal with that.
I think the war on terror is a fucking psychological operation that keep us in a perpetual military-industrial complex. It's like a war on like...
Do you bring this up on first dates?
Yeah, I don't think it doesn't always go well.
No, I don't know. I think
it's a bummer.
I'm just worried because I've been so blasé about the whole, because Greece opened up their borders completely to Syrian refugees. They're like, come on in, we need people, we need on. And right now, the kind of scary, you know, when a liberal's all about gentrification until they walk down a gnarly place, you know, and they're like, oh, I'm getting close to that street, and I'm like, oh,
you're all for immigration until people get, like, raped in the street or because these rough people come over.
I think everybody should be for legal immigration, you know, like, why not?
I'm so, like, politically agnostic recently. I think this whole election cycle made me realize how dumb I am. Like, I really don't know, like, I don't know. I just think, like, everything is a con. That's, like, my new thing. Like, everything is a con. I think Byron Broussard, he always talks about, there's no such thing as truth. I don't believe in truth anymore. And I think I'm starting to be there. Because, like, everything is, like, a perspective. And people get so diehard about their perspective. And they yell at you if you have a different perspective. And so, I don't fucking know. But I know most people are fucking pieces of shit. So, that's also goes into it. So, I'm very confused about everything right now. But... anyway, let's do part two later because we got to go do this mic.
Let's do it.
All right. So I was with this like girl and she was kind of a loose girl for a while, you know.
Yeah.
So after I had sex with her, I had a weird pimple on my dick. You ever have that? You ever get a weird pimple on your dick? I can't afford a doctor, you know. Well, this gay friend Xander is gonna be up in a minute. I was like, Xander, take a look. I just whipped my dick out. It's like, you've seen a lot of wieners. Is this normal? He's like, it's an ingrown hair. I'm like, cool. All right. So if you don't have medical care, just have a gay dude look at your wiener.
Continuing on with Yorgo Archie's, we just did the mic at Carrollton Station, and then we went to Lucky's on St. Charles. Then I drove a bunch of people home, and then now we're in your apartment. We smoked a lot of weed here. You've told me a lot of fun secrets here. Fun secrets about your life.
Do all Mormons have trampolines?
Yeah, all Mormons who have a family, they end up owning trampolines.
Now, okay, so let's rewind. So I was telling you, I was like, you know, I never really grew up with body issues, you know? I had a trampoline.
Sharp pivot.
But it's not a sharp pivot because this has been lightning fast transition for the folks, you know. So I grew up with a trampoline. I never had body issues. So I was always pretty fit, and so now I'm like letting it go. I'm letting it go after we did both the shows. I was like, yo, let's get a jeans po' boy with roast beef, fucking. And you're like, whoa. I'm trying to have that body, that like beach body in Greece. You know?
Yeah.
I was like, why are you taking this serious? And then I was like, have you ever been on a trampoline? You're like, those are for Mormons. I'm like, what? I was raised Catholic. How dare you?
No, that was a joke, like, almost exclusively for my mom, because she would have laughed really hard at it. No, I never went to a Mormon family that didn't have a trampoline in the backyard.
Yeah?
Because you need activities. You know Jimmy Fallon?
Uh-huh.
How Jimmy Fallon does those, like, games all the time? I call that a Mormon Friday night, all the games that he does. Because you, like, that's exactly what you do. You play Pictionary on Friday night.
Right.
You don't feel so bad about the fact that everybody's actually having fun.
Yeah, they're friends around. Hey, let's take out Grandpa's teeth. It's a good Friday night. This is a Mormon Friday night. He's got dentures. Let's see those chompers, you know?
No, like...
Little parlor games.
I like to think about, like... Do you think Mormon families are okay with the new Beauty by the Beast?
Beauty and the Beast?
Oh, yeah.
Beauty by the Beast? That's like a workout regimen.
Beauty by the Beast. The Beast is just sitting there just doing, yeah.
Wait, what are you saying about Beauty and the Beast?
No, do you not know that in Beauty and the Beast, one of the characters are gay?
Oh,
and
okay.
Disney came out and it's like, yeah.
With the candlestick?
Not the candlestick. Gandalf's, like, right-hand man is gay.
Oh, okay.
I wish I knew what his name was. I don't.
Right.
But I like to think, because one theater in Alabama said, no, not okay. We're not going to show Beauty and the Beast. Which made $140 million this last weekend. Which is a lot of money. And I like to think, would Mormons allow themselves to go do that?
Wow. It's such a... terrible turn, because it's like, this is a kid's movie, my daughter wants to be a princess, but, you know, Gandalf's assistant is like,
he really wants to fuck his stone.
Yeah,
like, that's the whole point of it. He wants to fuck his stone.
Oh, yeah. He's like, oh my god, look at him. Wow.
Yeah,
no, he just keeps on like mopping up after everyone. His muscles keep excuse me, what, we're doing magic? Oh, that's interesting. I have to get four newts again? Okay.
I wish we knew the name of the character, because that would help a lot.
I feel like I was Uber driving, and I'm such a fucking degenerate. I was taking this mom and her 12-year-old kid to see Beauty and the Beast for the second time, the live action.
This on Friday? So it was like the second time.
Yeah, probably. So I was driving them to the Beauty and the Beast, and they're like, "Have you seen Beauty and the Beast?" To me, I'm 31. I'm like, no. And I was like, yeah, maybe if, what's her name? Emma Watson? She was in Playboy, I totally get that. And then she was like, it's not about that. She's an empowered. I was like, I started doing that.
Well, okay.
Because I'm an asshole.
Two things. One, Playboy doesn't show breasts anymore. They've
gone Maxim?
Yeah, they not even Maxim. They refuse to do nudes at all. Because they have a female CEO, and she thinks that presents the wrong image for females.
What?
Yeah. Two, Emma Watson actually gotten a lot of heat for being not a feminist.
Well, she got her titties out at, like, Bazaar magazine. She's like, what do my breasts have to do with feminism? What does my breasts have to do with feminism?
But then, like, they uncovered something from, like 2012 where she talked about Rihanna. Or Beyonce, or I wish I knew exactly who it was. And she's like, oh, if you want to be feminist, why you got to show your tits? Yeah. And it's just like, you know, if you're being positive towards something, just allow the message to fucking flow. You know? Like, why be so strong trying to find hypocrisy? It's not fair.
I just think, like, yo, she's like, I got these hot poppers now. Let me get these filmed on fucking JPEGs. Because pretty soon, like, when you look back in the day, I want it recorded that I was the baddest bitch. I want it recorded on fucking film that I was I had the nicest tits ever.
To be fair, that is, I would agree with that, but that has nothing to do with what I was just saying.
Have you seen how perky Emma Watson's breasts are?
Like, yo. When I am
from bottom to top,
when I am in my best shape, I hope that it gets photographed as much as humanly possible.
Yeah,
you know. So I agree with you there. Like, why? Like, why not? Like, if you're in your best possible shape, photograph that shit.
Yeah, I always say that about beaches and women. What are you gonna do? Give me a bone there? That's the biggest problem that's gonna happen. However, I have a joke about this too. Where, like, when I was taking the SATs, the girl in front of me was wearing a little thong, and she was wearing, like, a halter top where a side boob was hanging out. And I think for SAT testing, women should wear burkas. I really believe that. Because I swear to God, Dude, people don't know. When you're 16 and your testosterone level is, like, 200,000, it's honestly impossible to focus on anything except the one pokey nipple. Maybe I'm just like an old school pervert. I don't know. But just like, you know what I'm saying? Like, tarps would be good.
Yeah, like the nugget of that idea works, except for like how anti-feminist burkas are, you know? Well, so like if that's a tough one. That's a tough one.
I swear to God, I placed out of so many schools because that day it was so hot, right? And she was like sweating, right? Yeah. And then she kept like, her dirty little bum was just, like, rolling up and down on the school seat, and it kept rolling, rolling, rolling. Her short shorts were a thong by, like, the math test, number two. All right, pick up your pencils. This is 3.5 hours. Of what? Math or whatever? Are you crazy? Look at the view I'm looking at. You know what I mean? And so, I don't know, standardized testing, I'd say blinders. Not for other people's tests, just for, like, the hottest booties in the room, bro. But, like, I don't know. I don't want to be chauvinistic. I'm just saying, like, visually, I'm, like, super distractible. Like, very easily distractible. All right, let's change the subject. Let's talk about Mormonism. How old were you when you... Because you also told me this. Like, all right, you were 20 when you had sex. But also, like, you would regularly masturbate much later than I think most people.
Yeah.
So, what age, you know, what was your technique? Who told you? What was your reading material?
I had, like, earlier tonight I did a bit about this. But I thought, like, I really actually thought that, like, jerking off meant rolling your balls. So, like, you would just juggle them. And so for the longest time, I was really, really embarrassed. But then, like, from context clues, I figured out, like, from 13 to 18, like, oh, yeah, okay. Well, you should probably fuck around with your penis and, like, jerk it up back and forth. And then, yeah, I figured it out. And then I was 18 years old. I had a dorm in the University of Utah. I got the last available dorm, which was an emergency dorm, by myself with my own bathroom, which is, like, you have no idea what kind of, like, privilege that is.
Yeah.
Left after 6 months.
Because when you were in Utah, like, even your neighbors, you were on the second floor, but they all had trampolines, so they would look in at you. Like, you never had privacy because they could see the second floor. So your own room with a lockable door is like a revelation.
Yeah, I had to keep the blinds down. Yeah. fair enough. No, but, like, I got that, and, like, I had a new MacBook, a white one, very excited about, eventually got stolen. Watched
the white one who stole it, your first black lady with AIDS.
Oh, this is off. Oh, okay. I don't want to get into that.
It was an all white computer, though, right?
It was all white computer. Watched it, and it was Girls Gone Wild. I was on Eskimo Tube because that is what I heard. Was the I heard what the fuck is it called? Oh my god,
Pornhub.
No, it wasn't Pornhub. This is back in, like, 2007, right? Like, August 2007.
September. I don't remember URLs from back then.
My free pay site.
Yeah.
Okay. Was the one that I looked at. My buddy gave that to me. Didn't work at all. And I went to EskimoTube, which doesn't really work anymore, I don't think.
Yeah.
I went to EskimoTube. They have 3-minute clips. Checked out one that was Girls Gone Wild. I was like, ah, oh, this is going to go full circle, because that was, like, the first porn I got was Girls Gone Wild.
Yeah.
Did that, and that was the first time. I was like, I'm going to do this. I don't even give a shit. And then, like, 2 years later, I had to go through some trials and tribulations, and then finally, whatever it's called, didn't masturbate, had sex.
Oh, okay. So then your first time coming was from, the, like, consciously was from sex or masturbation?
Masturbation.
All right.
I wonder how many, like, I hope that's, like, true for most people, you know?
Of course.
Like,
I think it would be so rare if the first time you came from, like, having sex. Dude, how pimp status is that? Because you don't even know what's happening. You have to be, like, 14 or whatever.
Oh,
I remember.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I came. It was definitely a wet dream, and I was very confused. You know what I mean?
Like, I wouldn't even.
Did
count
you have
that,
wet
though.
Dreams?
I wouldn't even count that though.
You wouldn't count that.
No. No.
I think I was like 12 or something. My first wet dream. I masturbated like 2 years later, but I was like, I just still remembered it as like, I remember when the thunder came in the night and I wake up all steamy in my underpants. That's how it was. It was very mysterious to me. Because when I woke up and I was 12, I knew something happened. I knew I, like, went through a fucking psychological journey. You know what I mean? That had some kind of capstone or whatever.
But you knew about, like, what?
No. When I had a wet dream so young, I had no idea what it was.
Really?
No idea. I just remember I went in the girls' locker room. That is what I remember. I was, like, invisible. And I went, that was my first, like, fantasy. I was invisible, and I went in the girls' locker room, and, like, I saw everything, you know what I mean? And then maybe I appeared, and one girl was like, oh my god, I'm late for class, and all my clothes are off. And I was like, what's going on? You know what I mean?
Oh.
And then I woke up all, like covered in goo. So.
Yeah, I don't think wet dream counts. I don't think that's, like, the first time. I don't think you can count that. I think, like, the first time is, like, on your volition.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, like, whether it be masturbating, which is so sadly what it is for me, I guess. Or, like, those ballers that have sex when they're 15.
I think those people are rare.
Yeah,
I don't
know.
They can
go fuck themselves. Like,
I was, like, 17.
You always hear about that shit, though. Like, 14, 15, 13 year olds. 16's like a little late. That's like when you go to prom.
No, I think that's...
like 14, 15-year-olds, if they have sex, I don't like them, just inherently. You know?
I remember one guy. All right, I remember names. I'm going to do everything I can not to remember names. I know all their names. I'm struggling not to say them.
Just say first name.
This was high school. One girl had to sit. Her name was, okay, I'm not going to say it. She had to sit on the bleachers instead of do gym because, like, he fucking popped her pussy with just his fingers. Maybe he fucked her. I don't know. But he, like, popped her pussy somehow. Maybe he was just, like, so vigorously. He had, like, he was, like, on the varsity wrestling team, and he started, like, fucking fist pumping her pussy or whatever. But she had to sit on the bleachers for, like, 6 months. And she wasn't in a cast. It's not like she came in crutches. But she just whispered something to the gym teacher one time. And she got off of, like, gym class for, like, 6 months. And then I was like, I think my friend, like, is awesome or whatever. I think he, like, did stuff. You know what I mean?
6 months?
Dude.
6 months?
She showed up and she would be like, remember how I got my pussy blown out by my... huge cock boyfriend. So I'm just gonna sit here because it's like hard to walk around. That's what the doctor said.
Dude, I could like,
honestly, I'm not even joking,
I could break both my legs and be back in 6 months, man.
I did hear that dude, she had no other ailment, and I heard through the grapevine that that's what it was.
Alright,
anyway, it's all coming back to me now. I can say all the names, but I really don't want to. Okay, for legal reasons, let's move on.
For legal reasons,
I had a trampoline. Me and my friends were such fucking nerds that we would take like bicycle.
What age are
you? Okay, so all high school, so I'd say 14 to maybe 13 to 18. And then we would still do it residually at 20. And what we'd do is I had this bike. Yeah. And we took the wheels off and we put shirts and duct tape at the wheels at the spokes. And we duct taped it, and then we would like go on the trampoline with the bike and practice bar spins and tail whips and stuff like that. You know, all that BMX shit.
Yeah.
You know about the X Games and stuff like that. And we started doing front flips. When we started doing front flips and back flips, when we got that comfortable with the bike, then sometimes the bike would hit the trampoline and then people lost teeth and they got black eyes. So then we had to say no flips. Because when people start getting their head cut on the fucking handlebars... from trying weird shit, then we put the kibosh on
it. And that's like, that was like when Jackass was happening. So like parents were like really into it. Like parents were like, oh, what are you doing? Like when South Park came about, people were like, ugh. Parents were like, are you saying shit? Are you saying pussy? And then Jackass came and it was like, hey, are you having fucking backyard wrestling?
Yeah, are you pushing each other over in shopping carts?
Yeah.
Well, we had this one, we had a railing, we had a like a above ground pool, but we had a deck with a railing, and we would always jump off the railing onto the trampoline.
Yeah.
Oh, it was fucking the best. And we would do like professional wrestling stuff where we would like suplex each other and pile drive each other. Well, it was a trampoline. It's so soft. You land on your back.
I did that all the time, my brother. And he seemed all right. He's okay.
What was your landing pad for wrestling? Was it the couch cushions? So you would take the couch cushions off?
Like occasionally. But it was mostly the like mom and dad's bed.
Okay. They had a king bed.
Yeah. So they wouldn't be back until like 6 p.m. or something. Like maybe like 5, 6 p.m.
Yeah.
And we would just go at it after school. And he would just be the guy that was, like, he was the Rey Mysterio. So he would, like, go do all the flips and shit. And I would just, like, go murder him and shit. And it was fun. Like, we both had a blast. I don't know. Like, it was a...
Yeah.
Do you have a little brother?
I have a little brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you do the whole wrestling
thing? Oh, sure. Like, we would suplex, He's, like, 8 years younger than me. So when I was 18, he was 10. You know what I'm saying? And when I was 18, I left the house. But we definitely had some, I'd say like 3 years of good horseplay years. Mm-hmm. I always feel weird. My brother, different subject, change of gears. But when I went to undergrad, my parents got divorced. And so like my brother was 10. And like, you know, there was a little bit of infighting as who gets custody and this sort of thing.
I feel like, you know what
I'm saying? And I was like in Philly my freshman year of school. And then I moved to New York for my sophomore to graduation, and I always felt like they were in Jersey, but I would never go back because I'm like, it's so weird back there. I need to let them figure this out. You know, anyway,
I have issues with my parents and stuff like that. I see a therapist. Do you feel like you got fucked up from religion or from your upbringing or from...
Sharp pivot there. Just a yeah.
Hey, this is fun secret share time. You're
good. No, yeah, no, absolutely. No, like, ask a question.
I think I did. So, do you think your parents did, like, a perfect job? What are, like, the sticky parts? And, like, see, I don't know anything about Mormonism, because I grew up Catholic, you know? I, like, got confirmed as a Catholic, all this shit. So, like, did they ever bring you to the Mormon temple just to check it out? Or what did they tell you about God?
This is legit a joke that I do, where I talk about, like, if somebody is part of the Mormon religion at all, they can never be not part of the Mormon religion, right? So my mother, she left at 18, and no matter what, she'll always, like, she is Mormon.
Right.
Because she got that doctrine. Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, we never, like, Mormonism, it wasn't necessarily Mormonism that people talk about. They talked about my father, who, like, grew up in Greece. It was Greek people and then white people. And that was, like, how they talked about it. And that's how it was for my entire upbringing, where it wasn't necessarily Mormon, which feels like it was, like, a nice thing to say to my mom. She's like, no, it's just white. My dad would just be like, oh, it's a whole bunch of Greek stuff. And Greek always won against white Mormon. Yeah, I don't know. It was like my big fat Greek wedding, except for reverse. It was a male who got a female. That was not, I don't know. It was weird. It's a weird situation.
What are you telling me?
What am I telling?
I feel like
you?
You're beating around the bush about something.
No, what I'm beating around, like, it's weird to say to, like, explain that, like in our actual terms, we said white people and Greek people, but that's not how it works nowadays. You know, like, or not necessarily how it works.
Oh, nowadays. So you were, like, so Greek, it was such your identity that not, that yeah. being in a atmosphere of just, like, oh, these are white people was weird?
Well, no, it's just not that. It's, like, they, like, it's not ever weird to hang out with white people at all. It's just, like, how we totally, like, put aside white people.
Oh, growing
like,
up.
Like how, like, my mother decided to be Greek, and she learned Greek, and she did all the Greek stuff, and she always referred to white shit as white shit, and to, like, have kind of, like, talked about white things, and us kind of, like, more assuming the Greek thing, because we went to Greek school, and went to church, and all that kind of stuff. To hear people, like, talk about white stuff, and me kind of be on the Greek part, even though I know that's not a person of color, it's a weird thing, you know? Like, it's not like I'm uncomfortable in any situation. It's just, like, it's a thing I have to deal with. Because it's, like, because when people say white people, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's what we used to consider everybody on my mother's side.
You know what's weird? I remember being so Catholic that someone, my friend, let me say his name, Joey Sacco, he cornered me in third grade. He looked at me, he's like, you believe in Santa? I was like, yeah. He's like, how does Santa get powers? Superpowers? Because his family let him in on the secret, like, way early, you know? And I was like, I asked my dad, and he's like, what did your dad say? And I go, he said that Jesus gave him the powers. So that's how that goes down. And he's like, okay, really? You really believe that? It's not just your parents giving you gifts? I was like, no, Jesus gives Santa the powers. And then I remember going home feeling like, somehow I feel like I'm a huge asshole right now. Somehow I feel like I am so stupid, but I'm not in on the joke of what is wrong with that statement. And then, like, 3 years later, my dad's like, yeah, Santa's not real. I was like, I said Jesus gave him the powers, man. You told me to say that. And now I'm a liar 3 years later in school, in public school, in Jersey. Where does that leave me socially? Behind.
How do you feel about that? About, like, Jesus talk on stage? How do you feel about it? Because, like, when people, like nitpick and, like, make jokes about the Bible, how do you feel about that?
I love it.
I grew up Catholic, so I like to belittle religion if it's necessary.
I feel like
it's mine because I was raised Catholic, so I can talk about the Catholic Church.
Not like necessarily like, I'm just like saying like, when you take a phrase out of the Bible and you're like, oh, you know, Jesus, he made wine, maybe he'll do like blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't know. Like that, white privilege and Donald Trump, or just like, not Donald Trump, I'll take that back. But like that and white privilege are like two things that like whenever I hear it, I just like kind of turn off. I'm like, ah.
You don't want to hear anything to do with religious jokes?
Not religious. Like when people like make like wordplay on like a Bible verse or something like that or something like that.
So you hold it sacred still?
I don't. No. Like that's not fair. I don't hold it sacred. I just think it's not. I've just seen it so much through it because like everybody that's ever done stand up has had Bible as its something to make fun of. So I've seen almost everything, and so when I hear it, I'm like, ah. Not even that, like, it wouldn't be original. It's just, like, I'm just, like, done with it. That and white privilege, it's just, white privilege is tough because most people that talk about it are white people.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, yeah. what are you going to do, you know?
Yeah, I get it. Like, it's fine. I'm going through a real weird thing where when I'm writing new material, like, I really don't have a sense of what's good and what's not. And I also am getting in this weird like loop where I'm not. I don't even know if I've done these jokes before. I gotta get more organized with them. I don't know. I feel like I've been in kind of. And I was talking to fucking Kyle about this. I've been in like a little bit of a fog since John died. You know what I mean? Do you ever feel like your joke? Like you know, you were saying you had two rough sets tonight. I was like, "How'd it go?" And you're like, "That went terrible." Like, "How'd it go there?" You're like, "That went terrible." Do you kind of go up and down emotionally with doing stand-up? If you have a rough set, it like haunts you.
Well, yeah, yeah. What I'm happy about is like, I don't think like I'm not gonna do it again. You know, I didn't get any feedback for a very very long time on purpose. Like I never let anybody come out to any of my shows that I knew on purpose because I didn't want any kind of thing where I'd be like, oh, that's discouragement. Now at the point where, like, I've done it for so long, every night, it's kind of an addiction, you know?
Yeah.
It's also, like, really nice, like, just getting that, like, sensory validation every time you say something. And I don't know. It's, when I have a bad set, like, I kind of did at Lucky's. But Lucky's is like a really weird place.
It's very experimental. Like, it's loosey goosey.
No, like some things worked, and then I lost the audience, and I need to figure out because I recorded my set why I lost the audience, and then we'll figure that shit out.
I did give you advice one time, and I'm not sure if I stepped out of my place when I did this, but I said like, "Hey, I saw you do a set, and you did all the same jokes that you did the first time, only this time I don't think you connected. I don't think you like checked in with them." Now, what I'm saying is, whenever I assess a crowd, if I need to, I think I want to talk to them for maybe two local references or, like, hey, a little bit of crowd work up top to be like, hey, I'm checking in, I'm looking at you, I know you're here, now let me do my material. And even if it's, like, within the context of your joke, you check in sometime at the audience, and I feel like that's an important thing to do. I don't know what I mean by check in exactly, but I mean just, like, make sure they're on the same page with you along a point of the story.
Yeah.
And so you kind of be like, oh, I know this person is into it. And then everyone laughs or whatever. And then you get them rolling into a thing. I feel like sometimes you don't check in. But that's, you're saying you're doing it 6 months. I don't know. I don't know. But Isaac Cozell, he gave me really good advice today about a joke. And I appreciate it. I like when people come up to you and they say, hey, this or that. I think that's, you know, my whole fucking screenwriting, I'm getting my fucking degree in screenwriting at UNO, and the whole thing is reading each other's scripts, giving it feedback. So when other comics come up and they tell me anything, I'm very receptive to it. I think it's important.
Yeah. No, I've been in those kind of, like, screenwriting classes, and they're not fun at all. They are, they're very weird because everybody's so positive because nobody wants any kind of negative feedback and nobody wants any kind of like crosstalk. So you just get a whole bunch of positive shit and it's not productive at all. That's how I experienced it at the University of Utah. Talk about me not connecting with audiences. I remember when you told me that, and like I had like really bombed, in an extraordinary way. Not like where nobody like reacted, but like people didn't like me, you know. And that's like
I felt that. Yeah. I saw you were depressed about it.
Yeah.
So I tried to contextualize that bad feeling into a learning experience.
Yeah. It wasn't like they were not with me. They just like they did not want to laugh at what I had to say.
But I think you didn't check in with them. I think if you look back, you got to check in. I don't know what that means even, but
no, and that's totally fair. That was the I think it was March 2nd.
Yeah.
It was Oh no.
Oh, did I cough?
That seems it was a little wet. Anyway,
sorry.
That was after Mardi Gras, and, like, all the fucking mics had, like, closed down and shit. And it was like, finally Helen came back. I got the fucking, the opening thing. And it was like, just ate shit. But it was very, very constructive to say, you know, to connect with people. You know, because, like, it's, you want to get a roll. You don't want to, like, have people listen. Oh, that bit worked. Oh, did that bit work? Oh, it worked. You want to, like, have people, like you.
Yo, the best line I've ever heard about Donald Trump was like, someone on SNL did an impression of Trump and they were like, so I was talking at my wife yesterday. I was talking at her fucking face. And just, it doesn't even matter if she's there or not. And I felt like sometimes I have this habit too. You talk at the audience and not to the audience. Where you're like, I'm saying words, and I'm just going, and even if you're not on the same page at all, I'm going to speed up my timing to even lose you faster, and then blah, blah, blah.
Are you talking about me checking right now?
I'm talking about me, man.
Okay.
We're all together. We're all one in this journey of learning.
Oh, fuck you.
So you were in screenwriting class, and all your all the Mormies just bounced in there on their fucking trampolines. Full of piss and vinegar and endorphins from a good day's exercise and fresh milk from the cow's udder.
No, it's like
unpasteurized.
Have you been into like you've gone to like straight up screenwriting classes and like straight up like watch like
but my undergrad lecture, too.
Watch a movie, then talk about the movie kind of like film classes, right?
Yeah, that was undergrad. Mostly with screenwriting, it's reading each other's stuff and then giving notes, hard notes. And also in fiction writing workshop and nonfiction writing workshop.
Right.
And also I took a poetry class, all the same shit.
I don't want you to get defensive because I didn't do grad school stuff. So I just
I'm just saying, I think that I learn from the times I have rough classes. Right. When everyone's like, oh, and by the way, this sucks. Oh, by the way, this sucks. You go home and you go, I know what I have to work on. This sucks. Let me read this scene 90 times. And then read the notes again that the other classmates printed out for me. Read the notes again. Look at the scene that they're talking about. Over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. It's going to make you better. If you don't go through that self-reflection, you're going to fucking suck out your whole life. You need that. So I appreciate notes like
that's my biggest issue with screenwriting classes is that I did not get that in undergrad. I think it's it sucks. And I would sometimes like battle with some people, and they'd be like, "You just don't understand. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
you
got to get so specific though. You got to get page, like screenwriting is very difficult. It's like juggling. Every character has a certain way that they're gonna talk, a certain way that they're gonna think." Okay, that's one plate that you're spinning. The other plate that you're spinning is like the plot and the story structure.
I'm talking about some real like, yo, what the fuck is this kind of shit? You know? And it's
that's
like
good though.
And then like if you battle against it, people are like, you should probably not say anything bad, just talk about good stuff. Like that's the underground.
You have to go around once. If I'm teaching screenwriting, I'm going Okay, we're going to say one positive thing. Everybody, go around, starting with you. Go. Sarah, Ted, Kimberly, John, Gary, Kate. They're all say what's good. Very then you go all around. Class. Shaniqua.
Shaniqua.
Sebastian. Marcel. LaQuisha. Shante. You don't know where he's from.
So you got three black women and two Spanish guys.
Yeah, and a French gay guy. So I'm going, what's good? Second round, what's bad? Then I say, look, class, this is important to me. Talking is like eating a pizza. Now, if I put three pizzas in front of you, and one person is reaching for their seconds, one person's reading for their thirds, their fourths, people are still eating their first pizza. They eat two pizzas alone. That person's very rude, and that's how those workshop is going to work too. Everyone needs to talk equally. I'm going to open it up after the first round of praise, the first round of critique, but now don't eat four pizzas. But be nice and make sure that everyone talks kind of a third round before you get into fourths and fifths. Does that make sense? I think that's how you run a good workshop.
Well, fair enough. I never got an opportunity for that. It felt like it was always positive.
That's terrible.
But the thing is, like, it was like a screen. I think it was a screen out of one class.
But that's fine. You have to know what you have to do better.
Like, I just got into three for some reason, maybe.
You tested it in Wonder Kid?
I know. No, I just think, like, I was like, hey, can I please get this one? It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Because like a person who's doing one is going to do three. You know, like,
it's not that hard to shake down a Morbi for more education.
Mormon people are not that prolific around Salt Lake City, just to be frank.
Okay. Like
they're not. The entire Mormonism, the whole religion, like, puts this really weird umbrella on top of everything, which sucks. Like, there's strangleholds on all joy in everywhere in Salt Lake City. But yeah, I don't know.
Boy, you're so coy with dirty secrets, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
With talking, even critiquing your upbringing, you're very coy with it. Maybe I'm too liberal with critiquing my upbringing, and that's probably very tacky considering my white privilege.
Oh, white privilege. One of my favorite things. Why don't you go into that?
Plus my religion. Anyway, Hey, let's get 45 minutes of my Jesus jokes.
Go Jesus, white privilege. Jesus, white.
Just
Jesus,
alternate.
Jesus, he never got a white privilege.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Because he's not a white guy.
One time Jesus was golfing with a bunch of whiteys, right? They were 200 yards away. And they were like, my white privilege is a gimme, right? And Jesus was like, yeah, let's drink wine. Was getting fucked up. You know what I mean? By that time, he was retired. That was like after he resurrected or whatever. So, anyway, these are like Jesus white privilege shows. He joined a country club. You know what I mean? And they would always like overcharge for the carpentry. Dang. Wow. So rude. I think we're wrapping up here.
Is that white privilege?
Yeah. Because he overcharged. That's how like union started. It's like, oh, you're a good Catholic? Yeah. Well, look at Jesus. No, I got this other guy. He like does actually good work, and they're like, you're Catholic though. Do you know what this guy's about to do for your sins? You know what I mean?
Salt Lake City is full of a lot of Mormons.
Yeah.
And then full of a lot of people who are oppressed by that Mormon reign the entire time.
Are the Greeks oppressed by Mormonism?
No. Generally,
they embrace it?
No, they struggle with general financial issues and the overbearing Turkish issue that's going on to the east.
So what do your parents say about Turkish people when they're liquored up?
My father probably doesn't like them, my mother understands, but would not give a shit about Turkish people.
So what do they say if they're a little liquored up about Turkish people?
Well, my father fought in, like, the Cyprus War against Turkish people. So, like, do your best. I have no, like, do you know, like, a Turkish slur?
Not really. No, that's why I'm asking you questions, because
is Stan specifically bully? You know, like, what do you go? I have no idea.
Like, all right.
A Turkite?
Wow.
Oh, that sounds dirty, doesn't it? Turkite?
Sounds weird.
One of those dirty Turkites? Yeah.
I do remember that when I was exchange student in Germany, like during high school time, like the Turkish people were definitely like, I would say, the equivalent of like our Mexicans. Like there was always, the conservatives wanted to kick them all out and say build a wall, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And the liberals were like, oh, but they work hard, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's like the exact equivalent like arguments I have. It's interesting. But, I mean, I like Turkish food. It's really goddamn good. Like, street Turkish food? Oh, my God. I'll eat all that shit.
Do you like Turkish Delight?
Mm-hmm. There's like a happy ending with a massage place? Or?
No, it's not a euphemism. It's like Turkish Delight is like a
shish kebab?
No, it's like a candy. It's like a confection.
I don't think I know that.
You don't know what a Turkish Delight
is? I was into the rugs, and I was into, like, the street meat. You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
But it was like... Oh, like a piece of chicken and stuff. All right. We're way off topic.
There was a topic, and we got off it.
Let's be honest. What's the rudest thing your parents have ever said about Turkish people? To your face.
Wow. My father hasn't said anything that bad about Turkish people, but he's very conservative. You know, so there's some things that he says, like, and my mother doesn't give a shit about Turkish people because she's not Greek. She assumes that she understands that point of view, but...
That's interesting. So what, she was Mormon and she denounces Mormonism for Greekness? Was that like a proper full replacement?
No, well, she like left when she was 18, went off into the world, became a... stewardess for Braniff Airlines for years and years, that ended up in Hawaii and met my father, and they ended up getting together. It was nice. Yeah.
And then she was like over Greek because she learned like the language.
No, like she had actually, she was very, very privy to Greek people. She was not into my dad because she knew about Greek guys and they were very, very aggressive. My father, they took a cab home, and my dad was like, hey, let me make sure you get home. And she's like, all right, I'll do this. And they get all the way to her house. She gets to her door. My dad's like, let me make sure you get to your door. She's like, oh, fuck, this is going to be a fucking issue. And my mother says, all right, I'm going to go inside. And my dad's like, all right, here's my phone number. Kisses her on the hand, and then gets the fuck away. Then my dad calls the next day. They go out, and the rest is history.
Oh,
yeah.
Adorable.
Yeah, so all those miserable Greek people that my mother dealt with helped my dad out because the expectation was so low.
Oh.
It was so perfect, yeah.
So it's like the pickup bars. He has to neg a girl, you know?
Well, yeah, he was just like, hey, countrymen. Fuck with Marianne.
Right.
Yeah.
Make the expectations low so that he went in like the knight of shining armor with like just basic pleasantries.
Yeah. He also bought my mother a drink, and it was not a well drink. It was a Stoli. And my mother liked that.
Wow.
And she told me that, which made me feel so, like, so weird.
Yeah.
Like, that would be a difference.
She was like, a pussy.
Yeah. I don't know if that was the case.
I was like so hot for about a lot.
No, I was like,
but he didn't even get me a well drink. He got me a lot of well.
No, well, your mom sounds like a dirty bitch, man.
Oh, fuck you.
I'm just joking.
She's fine. Honestly, like...
this is the rudest interview possible.
No, if she, like... the thing is, like I kind of, like, I respect it. Like, if somebody bought me a drink and was right. like, hey, no, I want Jose Cuervo instead of, like, whatever, Mezcal, I'd be like, yeah. That's great. Right. But that's a bad example because it's, like, cheap, Jose Cuervo.
But it's, like, someone who knows what they want.
Yeah. Well, somebody that, like, wants to go above and beyond. Like, Stoli is not that great now. But hey, it was good in, like, 1987.
But it's just having a particular taste. And then it's, like, if they like you and not all the other Greeks, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those fucking... They're like animals. They try to grab your pussy. They don't have business cards with their phone numbers on them. You know what I mean?
No, well, like, well, what my mom was talking about was, like, somebody would be fucking, I think, and, like, she'd be, like, and somebody else would be sitting there, or she'd be sitting there, and the guy, like, she'd be with her girlfriend, and the guy was in the other guy. My mom would be like, I'm going to sleep. And the guy that didn't get down with my mom would just be knocking at the door and be like, ah, let me the fuck in. What the fuck's going on? What the fuck? Why I gotta be out there? And she's like, oh, God, Greek guys, they just don't get a fucking hint. And then right. she dealt with my mom, my dad.
Oh, yeah. And that's good, though.
Yeah. That worked for 20 years or so. That's not bad.
I think the standard's raised now after MTV. Now you gotta, like, dance good, be a good cook, be sensitive, but be a businessman. Where's the jacuzzi? You know what I mean? Like, it's a different...
I've got a legit thing that I wanna tell you. You have not heard about this. I met a girl on OkCupid, right?
Yeah?
And she contacted me, and she was like, right. Oh, hey, I'd like something in your profile. And I was like, word. And then we started talking. It seemed really cool. She was like a comedy writer. She's coming from Brooklyn. She's a comedy writer. She like does sketches over at TNM or whatever. And like we talked. I was like, hey, let's talk on text. We started chatting that way. Got a good rhythm going. And we start talking. And like we get a date. She wants to do a date on Friday because she's like a real human being.
Yeah.
She's like, no, not Tuesday at 10 p.m. We'll do Friday. And so I'm like, okay. We make this deal on like Tuesday, and I'm like, oh yeah, what kind of date are we going to do? Let's do something cool. Zoo, fuck you. Fuck zoo. Let's do something really cool. Oh, you know, riffraff. Oh, fuck riffraff show. Let's go do something cool. And so we all do this kind of shit. And then we get to Thursday. And it was a Thursday after Women's International, International Women's Day. And on that Thursday, I was like, yeah, we're going to do something really, really cool tomorrow, whatever the fuck it is. Also, and, like, just to kind of keep the conversation going, I did, the perfunctory, hey, do you have any deal breakers?
Yeah.
You ever do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're like, hey, what, like, something that we should not even, like, talk at all.
Mm-hmm.
And she did a whole bunch of shit, like, where it's like, oh, I want a guy with a good sense of humor, a guy who has good manners, a guy who fucking doesn't smoke and shit. A whole bunch of shit. Like, I was like, I gotta lie about it. And then she was like, oh, I also want somebody who is not against women's rights. And I made the joke after I got that text. I was like, hey, so do you get a lot of guys on their first date say they don't want women to vote? And she said, I don't think women's rights is something you should joke about.
Ugh.
Right? Which is awful. It's like the worst.
Yeah.
Because it was like an innocuous joke. Like, it was obvious I was trying to like make a joke. And then we never ended up going out. I was like, hey, so you do you not want to go out anymore? And she was like, no, not really. And I shouldn't have made the joke. Because it was right after International Women's Day. But
like, who cares about timing, you know? Who cares about all that stuff? It's just like, people can't do ideas because it was St. Patrick's Day later, so don't make any drunk Irish jokes. It's like, Yeah, but that joke's in my act, and I just did it in Cleveland, so I'm just gonna do it tonight. And like, you know what I mean? I don't know, man. I don't like that thing.
No, yet. I think I don't think it was like a, it was a murderously good joke, but I think it was like an innocuous joke at most.
I know a lot of comics who, particularly around the roast battle, you know, who are not cool with some of the material that comes up, and you know, like people have had like abortions and then they bring them up at the roast battle and shit like that, and other people's girlfriends are like, what? And I really do think I'm just like, I think my religion is comedy. Like, I'm always gonna side with comedy, like, even if they're bringing up like the darkest, no, weirdest
that's,
stuff, like,
that's probably what sucks.
I really
the
feel
most.
Like this I'm girl, a hardcore like free speech person.
Yeah, and then like the girl was a comedy writer. Like, I knew right. about that, and that, like, that's what, like, I was like, oh, I could probably make this joke. It's not a great joke. It wasn't even like, oh, like, people don't want you to vote. It was like, you get a lot of people on First Date wanting to end women's suffrage. Which I thought was, like, kind of a, like, a more clever joke that she would get. She didn't, and she was like, ah. But the fact that she was a comedy writer, I thought she would be okay with it. Not the case. And in that case, it's like, you know, I, like, you gotta be able to make some kind of jokes, you know? Like, that's an innocuous joke. There can't be something that's so off limits.
Right.
Especially, like, something like that. Like, who gives a shit?
All right. Well, I hope your dating life improves. You know, I hope you go to Greece and, you know, you have, like, a harem by the end of it with your knowledge of saying like, hey, like, nice breasts, you know what I mean? I hope but I think that's about it, unless you have things to plug. What's going on?
Things to plug? No, I don't.
Yurgo Archidis, suck his dick in Greece. I got some shows coming up April 7th. I'm at the Irish House. House on St. Charles, and then the 8th I'll be at Bullet Sports Bar. So really? April 7th, April 8th, I'm fucking hitting your town with, you know, young and full of cum, bro.
Nice. I've been being in Greece for a long time. This has been pretty cool. We've been out here. There's been a couple of brain farts, and it's okay.
We're smoking weed. What do you expect? So what neighborhood are you to be in, you know, when you're in Greece?
Neighborhood.
Yeah, so people can come and like lick your balls or whatever if they want to like see like your body that you've sculpted over not eating a po' boy tonight and stuff, you know.
Yeah. Well, no. What's awesome is they're not neighborhoods there. They're villages.
What village? What's your PO box?
Vasiliko is the village of.
All right. Well, if you got a hot pussy or whatever, like walk over to Vasiliko, or you know,
hang out there, Halkida. Athens, be on the Parthenon, going to Florence, going to Amsterdam, going to Stockholm.
Jet set.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. This is, like, I'm going fucking, like, I'm actually,
that sounds
like,
fucking visiting. Baller as shit.
Yeah, it's, like.
So are you staying in the hostels or is it all, like, family spots?
Family spots in Greece. I have no idea where I'm staying in Amsterdam or Stockholm, which is kind of a trip, but we'll figure it out.
Yo, you gotta find a sugar mama, bro, right off the top. Go where the MILFs hang out, you know?
You think so?
Go to the watering hole, and you can be the little kept man. And then you break the chains the next morning and go hit the train, you know?
I want to go to the Bulldog, for sure. Like I want to go to the Bulldog.
The Bulldog?
Yeah, the Bulldog. And all those kind of, like, fun places around Amsterdam.
Is that where the red light district is? Are you going to buy a prostitute?
Oh, dude, I've asked a lot of people if I should or not, and I have no idea.
I really think you should.
Ah. I haven't heard like a perfect explanation why yet. Where I'm like, you know,
because it feels good. Like, have you like if a girl goes like yucky, 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 and then your yogurt sauce comes out and you feel like a god for 2 days. You know what I mean? Anyway, smoke pot, worship aliens. This is another episode of Highway Motherfucking Diary in the bag with my guest, Yurgo Archidis. He's super Greek and Mormon or whatever. All right, later, bitches.